And welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm Dougie Almeida. It's Tuesday, January 12th, and we are in this beautiful country of America. And I'm here with my two guests today, two good friends and fellow comedians, Mr. Bob Golub and Clayton Fletcher. What's up, fellas?
What's up? How are you doing?
Now, I haven't seen you, Clayton, in quite a while. Actually, I haven't seen either one of you guys in quite a while, so we're going to be honest about it. I mean, looking at Bob at the moment, I'm kind of glad I haven't seen him. God, the pandemic has not been good to you, my friend. But no, I'm only kidding. You're a lovely man. Clayton, I mean, always looks good. I mean, look at him. He's playing guitar. He's got harmony in his life. And I mean, that's what happens when you make millions of dollars playing poker.
Yeah, I'm in a sweatshirt. I'm the best dressed guy on this whole program right now.
We actually have color. That's what it is. We have color. He's really white. See how white that face is? Like, we have color in our face.
Do we? I can't tell from mine, to be honest with you. I don't know. For some reason on Zoom, I always look like I just ate a gallon of ice cream.
You're doing big. I was going to say, I think you gained the weight that Frank lost.
Yeah. That's the agreement Frank Del Pizzo and I had. All the weight you lose, I'll take it on, you know. I was like conjuring up a bad spirit. Like he got, I did an exorcism with his fat. I took it all in on myself. So,
you know, we actually worked together right before last January, around this time, right before everything went crazy. And I don't know if he was starting to lose then. I'm not sure if he started. We talked about, because I cut my sugar out and I lost a bunch of weight. But, you know, anyways.
But you've always been a fit guy, both of you guys. I mean, you know, Clayton, Clayton's never been fat.
No, he's always, but I wasn't fat, but I cut my sugar out, and I got to tell you something. I worked with Jerry Gaylor, you know, Joey?
Yeah.
And he said he cut his sugar out, his head cleared up and everything. Well, he had to lose weight. You've seen that, but I mean, it like clears your head up, and I'm actually down to my fighting weight right now.
Yeah. I swear to God. Yeah, that and drinking. I did a few years ago. I stopped drinking for like 90 days, and I felt much better. I slept better. But a friend of mine did the same thing with sugar. He just cut off a lot of the sugar, and he was a much better person for it. So,
yeah, and you know, all these billions of dollars that my wife did, all these, they buy all these. You know, you lose weight, cut your friggin' sugar. I swear to God, I lost 25, almost 20 some pounds. Like a cancer, you know, guy here. Raise money with Mark Cohen.
Well, oh, there you go.
Just you know that references. I'll let it go.
Well, gentlemen, welcome, guys. And obviously, it's been a crazy week, and all kinds of things going on. And you know, generally, I sometimes don't really like to get too political, obviously. But I made a post last night after everything that happened last week. I made a post on Facebook, which I don't think I'm going to do much more anymore. I think I'm done making any commentary on Facebook. I think I'm just going to use it for our industry stuff. I mean, I think I've learned this lesson about 16 times already, but and forgot it 16 times. But I posted because of what happened. I said, look, you know, I was not happy with the way President Trump handled that situation. I thought the minute it started breaking out, he should have got on there and handled things, and he didn't. So I basically posted, I am a Republican, always have been, and I will remain a Republican, but what I will not do is be a supporting Donald Trump anymore. And, you know, I thought that was a pretty good, you know, hey, let's move forward kind of thing.
Super brave, Doug. Very brave of you. The guy's got 9 days left. You're finally going to disown him.
Well, you know, I mean, the guy can always come back, you know, and mind you.
That's fake. He's not, listen, let me explain something to you. Let's not get crazy. Let's be civil here, and like, you know, brains. He's not going to come back. It's about raising money, dude. That money, by the way, 70% get to put in his pocket. It's about money. And by the way, that's, you know, that's what it's, you give him money, that's what's happening. It's almost getting like the evangelist. Same thing, I swear to God.
Yeah. Well, listen, like I said, you know, if anything, you guys have to understand too, I have a lot of friends who are Republican and big time Trump supporters. So excuse me, Clayton, but it was kind of brave because all my friends all of a sudden start going, what, have you been hacked? You know, what's going on? You know, I mean, how dare you? You know, so it wasn't something.
What did they need to see that's different that you that you saw. I mean, we all saw the same thing. Did he incited people to go and attack the Capitol and, you know, people got killed? What are they not seeing? I know there's a cult. I got that. I got half my family are cults. I got it.
Yeah.
And I got two in Florida. But, you know, I get it. But, you know, but the cult you're not going to be able to do. You understand that, right?
Yeah, but, you know, here's, I mean.
You got to be responsible, Doug. You were on that dick for 4 years, okay?
Don't well, listen, jump, I'm not, let's,
you
before
can't
we,
jump
before
off eight, we, that guy was right. You can't jump off 8 days later.
Well, before we go crazy, Bob, okay?
Let's be real.
There was a lot of things that are happening during that period I was fine with. I was fine with the taking out deregulation. I'm fine with cutting the corporate tax rates, the fiscal aspects of it, okay? It was, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say the whole thing, all right? But in the end.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about, you know, I've been around a long time. You know, the tax rate was a horrible decision. And by the way, it's $1.5 trillion of our money could have went into infrastructure and created. If the whole purpose of the tax cut is to create jobs, it never worked.
How could you say that? We had the best unemployment, more jobs started. The only reason the economy took a shit was because of the pandemic.
No.
That is story. Listen, you're talking to a financial fiduciary.
I don't care who you are.
I know you don't care about who you're talking to. But
listen, I'm going to talk to that guy right there. I'm going to ask him a question. When you go to Vegas and you play poker and you play it for 4 days and I give you money to play, you win the first day, but you lose that fourth day and you go in your pocket and then now you're in pocket and you lose. Do you win or lose? Yes or no? When you leave, are you a winner or a loser?
I never play poker with Bob's money.
But you know what I'm saying?
I do.
So you did not bring out that pandemic.
First of all, that's
by the way, he inherited a hell of a...
First of all, that's an incredibly horrible analogy to take just a poker game when it caused the fiscal situation of.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It is. It's ridiculous.
No, it's not. You're justifying his economy on the pandemic.
I didn't justify his economy on the pandemic. I said prior to that, everything was rolling. We had everything good. Now, just like someone said to me about Biden, it's like he's inheriting a bad economy. It's a big difference between what Obama inherited and what he's inheriting. Okay. When Obama inherited, it was definitely a beaten down economy. It had multiple levels of breakdowns that needed to be restructured. Now what we have is something where one thing affected it and it can easily be restarted. It just takes, people going back to work. Getting companies back, some of these small businesses, obviously is a big thing, but it's a big difference. So all Biden can do is fuck it up. He can't.
The trickle down never worked.
Listen, we're talking about the corporate tax rate. The corporate tax rate.
No one cares about that corporate tax rate.
That's where employment comes from.
No one cares about 35%.
What do you mean?
Yeah, right. Okay.
Well, individuals don't care about it, but corporations do.
Yeah.
Not to mention when you have the cost of health care and all kinds of benefits.
Where does a tax cut create jobs, Doug? Where's
jobs,
the fucking
because
jobs?
Because you as a corporation, your expenses have just been nullified by millions of dollars. You don't have to pay as much of that of the corporate tax rate.
Really? Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm a better business guy than Donald Trump. Okay, because what I would have done, taking $1.5 trillion, put it right into the infrastructure, created hundreds of thousands of good paying jobs. And
how many administrations been talking about doing this about the infrastructure?
I'm talking about now. I'm talking about what he should have done. I'm talking about 20 years ago. I'm talking about what your boy who lied to us.
You don't care about what anybody else did for years. All right. So let's move on. So the point is.
He was right. The guy that said that email was right. How about that?
No. Well, I mean, you know.
There you go. What do you think, Clayton? Do you think he should get a pass after 4 years of covering Donald Trump's dick? Yes or no?
I think that the political discourse nowadays, as soon as you start talking about politics, what happens is people get fired up. So look at Bob. I mean, Bob got really excited just like 30 seconds into this conversation.
Because
what happens is people get very emotional about these things because we've learned to equate whatever the opposite party of the one that you identify with as being wrong about everything, 100% evil. They're racist. They're misogynistic. They're pretty close.
That's pretty close.
All that stuff. And because that's
the way, that's pretty close. I swear to God.
Yeah, I know. And because that's the way we talk about politics nowadays.
That's how Donald Trump talks. I knew Donald Trump from New York, man, 30 years ago, bro. Okay, he was a con artist back then.
Yeah, so do I.
I was stern with him. He took my fucking management, my PR guy, and became his own PR guy. I got proof.
Yeah.
I never got paid from the Taj Mahal, $2,250. And these guys like him, Doug right there, backed this guy for four years.
Well, now we know why. Now we know you got such a bad heart on for him. So
now we know where all this anger's coming from. You can't look, you used to fight, dude. Okay, you could fight. You could handle yourself. He was a pussy. And most of his supporters are pussies. Okay? I just knocked out a guy 240 about 8 months ago. I dropped his ass, a Montana guy. So they're pussies. And you're a pussy for sticking up for this guy for 4 years. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, first of all, I don't appreciate you calling me a pussy.
Should be ashamed of yourself for that. You're a smart guy, dude. You're very smart.
Yeah,
Why are you letting that guy play you?
Let's get something clear. It was between him and Clinton, Clinton's the biggest corrupt political family in history. All right. So when you break it down to choice, that was the choice. Okay. So moving forward. So any rate, so yes, you're right, Clayton. You know, before I even said it, I go, why even bother? But I'm going to say it because I thought it. That was the moment. That was the straw on the camel's back to me that, you know, that I said, you know what, this isn't right. It was contradictory. It was hypocritical to me. And that was, I don't like that. I don't like when people I don't like all the things he's said and done. Like, he's a bull in a china shop. So, you know, I'm not surprised by a lot of shit he said. But with that moment, that's when it cracked me. And I said,
Doug, what happens is you can't win by doing that, because what's going to happen is if somebody is liberal, that person's going to say, what the hell took you so long, Doug?
If
somebody's right wing, that person's going to say, oh, how can you abandon? You're supposed to pick a team and stick with it.
Right.
You know, you're not supposed to be able to think for yourself in America.
Thank you.
That's exactly what somebody said. Pick a team. I lost like 12 people on Facebook.
No, here's the thing is that the Republican Party's done. You know, Evan, say it. I was there with the big shots, dude, at the beginning. Never Trump. Then all of a sudden they jumped on. And I told Evan, I said, Evan, I promise you he's going to ruin your party. And look what happened. Not only ruined the party, he ruined the government, our whole country. I mean, we're really in a bad, bad situation because this guy, and it's really horrible, man. I mean, we don't have to be here, man. You know,
we're ruined.
Come on. You didn't see this a long time ago?
You don't think the country was divided even before? I mean, the country was divided before.
No, even during Obama.
Even though during Obama it was divided. People had bigger fish to fry in their families than having to worry about who's going to what bathroom and who's marrying who. Those are all good things to take care of, but are they at the top of the list?
Yeah, you know? But you realize that what you just said is such bullshit. My sister, let me explain something to you. I'll give you $1,000. Show me one bathroom. Show me one bathroom, transgender bathroom. I'll give you $1,000 cash. Go ahead.
There's one at the Rio.
There you go. Give me $1,000.
I want to see it.
Thank you, Clayton.
I want to see it.
Thank you.
Well, it's actually what they call it. It's a gender neutral bathroom. And we have them all over New York City as well. It's not a transgender bathroom. It's a bathroom that doesn't care what kind of genitalia the people using it have. Okay. So it's a gender neutral bathroom. That's what we have.
And I go in them all the time.
So. Yeah. And you know what? In South Beach, the same thing. My years ago, we're talking about late 1990s, me hanging out in South Beach. They were that way before, you know, no one gave a shit, you know.
I want to get back to that point. Cause you can't let that go, man. As you said, you liked what he did. That never created jobs, man.
It did. When the unemployment rate was at its lowest level in 50 something years, how can you say what you just said? What you just said is not even factually correct. The employment rate was so low on
it had nothing
minority.
To do with,
don't tell me it had nothing. What did it have to do with? The use of Lysol spray? Did it have to do with the ozone? Did it have to do with something else? What would you say?
Would you say it was the after effects
of Obama and what he did?
Yeah.
That was the longest.
You support a racist. When you support a racist, you're a racist. You
all right.
That?
Yeah. Well, I don't, you know, listen, let's not get into what people do.
It's your show, baby. I'm here to tell you, man, I don't play no games. The games are done. Your boy's done, and you people to back him are you all are explicit, and you fucking are you have some foot in that bullshit when they kill the people at our capital. I mean, are you serious? And you didn't know this was going to happen? I'm sorry.
So by the way, when the Democratic governor of Seattle didn't do shit when they were attacking the courthouse, that was nothing.
That's people in there. Why don't you come up with something more original?
But it is a talking point. You guys keep saying this and that.
I'm not a fucking Democrat. I'm American.
I get it.
I got a flag outside of my house. You have a flag outside your house?
Yeah, I got a flag outside my
house. I got
a rainbow flag.
All you guys are full of shit with your little flags on your Facebook.
I got a fucking flag on my arm. You see that shit right there?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Let me see your flag outside your house. I'm an American. You guys got fucking bullhorned, and you deserve it. And when anything happens to you guys, fucking hope you get it back. Every one of you motherfuckers.
Yeah, well, there you go. We'll see what your crash test dummy candidate does in the next 4 years, if he even makes it 4 years. So at any rate, the question is, and obviously I was just going to say, can we all get along? And we can't even get along on this show.
Because you got, it is what it is, brother.
It's my fault. I get it. It's my fault. Democrats always blame everything on everybody else.
Democrats. And then you went into the other cities. You don't justify someone going in to kill people.
I'm not justifying anything. I'm able to say that was a horrible thing. And that's why I stopped supporting the guy. That's something you seem to be keep coasting over.
It's easy to jump off now.
Oh, it's easy to jump off now. It doesn't matter what you do. When you walk away from, like even Clayton said, whether you do it now or later, it's going to catch heat. You know, I could have just said, fuck, and not even bother and just say he's going to be gone anyway. All I have to do is wait another 10 days and I don't have to say anything. It won't even matter.
Tell the truth and say that you know, you're in a bad marriage. You didn't know it. And he's a piece of shit. But you can't do that.
Yeah,
little friends out there. Fuck those friends that you got out there. They're a bunch of pussies, every one of them.
All right, we're all pussies. So,
except Clayton, I don't mess with cards. They got that thing going. They could cut your neck. All right, I'm good.
You can't win.
I want to just tell you, bro, you're gonna get this. You understand? You did 4 years. You don't escape after 8 days. Sorry.
You can't win. Whatever you do, Doug, you can't win in this situation.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, when I was a boy. My mother told me there are two things you should never discuss with anyone, and that's religion and politics, because everyone has his mind made up already. And if you try, you're just going to end up in a fight. And you see how things are so heated now because people associate, you know, they assume that if somebody likes Trump for one reason or another, that person is a racist. You know, as Bob said, and a lot of people I know feel exactly the way Bob does. If you support Trump, then you're a racist, which kind of presupposes that Trump is a racist. Now, yes. I'm not saying that Trump is a racist or not.
I
think that's a big word to start throwing around against somebody. But I definitely think that not everyone who voted for him, 70 million people, did not vote for him because he's a racist.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. I'm one of 8 kids, okay? I will tell you this. I'm not saying everyone that voted for him is racist. I will tell you, 50% of people I know that voted for him are racist.
Okay, so that's fine.
That's
fine, Bob, because then you're taking
your own
your sample size of your people that you know, and if you know so many racists, you know, maybe that's on you.
What did that say about Bob?
No, hey, listen. If
Bob hangs around the Ku Klux Klan all week.
You're racist. Have you ever heard of it? Have you ever watched a documentary about what he did to Central Park 5. He's been a racist all his life. And you think he's going to change all of a sudden now? So what I'm saying is the words of what he said, look, even as a stand-up comic, we realize you can only insult so many ethnicities where eventually it comes back to you. And that's how many he insulted everyone.
Well, when I was growing up, Donald Trump was – when I was growing up, Donald Trump was a major celebrity, you know, People Magazine.
Yeah.
The most eligible bachelor, you know, who's he going to marry next? Like before he got into politics. And back then, his friends were Jesse Jackson, Don King. I mean, you would constantly see Donald Trump with people of all different colors. So it's a little bit strange to me that suddenly when he becomes president, everybody, you know, he was friends with Oprah. Like, how can a racist be friends with Oprah? Like, I don't get it, you know?
Well, hold on a second. Well, you just asked a question, Clayton. Now, here's where the non-Democrat, okay, the independent, is going to come out and now give, Like he's saying to me, this is the beauty. He's saying, oh, you just like throwing shit and deflecting. Meanwhile, here we go. Go ahead. Let's see.
Okay. So the three people you just named were all wealthy, all had money. He doesn't hang out with anyone that doesn't have any money. The only reason I'm out with them is black money.
Let me stop you right there in the ridiculousness of that comment.
Okay.
How many multi-billionaires do you know or millionaires do you know that hang around poor people all day?
It's not a thing, Bob.
It's not a thing. So it's like almost like saying, it's almost as stupid as somebody on Facebook the other day said to me. He goes, you know, I just looked at your Facebook and you didn't say anything about, this is a few days ago before I even made that post. He goes, right. I didn't see you making anything about any post about what happened or anything like that. Therefore, this is their logic. This is their deductive reasoning and their way of coming up with their their label of me. You know, they won't do all the millions of other things that will judge a character. They're going to take this one thing and say, well, because you didn't say something about it, you are then backing it.
You're complicit in it.
Yeah. And that to me is a bunch of bullshit because maybe I don't know what to say about it. Maybe I'm still taking it in. Maybe I'm trying to fathom it. Maybe I'm before I make a point. I've always been the kind of person and what I do. I like to try to take it all in and I try to understand it as best I possible before I open my mouth. You know, I'm not going to just sit there and see something, and then jump to conclusions. So the fact that I don't say something, let's say logic comes more into play than me being complicit to it. So that's just another one of these things of people judging or labeling you.
You can't win.
Yeah. So
you can win if you just do the right thing. I mean, you know, seriously.
Well, hold on a second. It's so ridiculous. The right thing. The only way sometimes I say this in my act and, you know, when I went to college, I was going to go to Georgetown Law School. I got accepted at NYU and Georgetown Law because I wanted to be a trial lawyer. So one of the things that my professors used to say is, you know how to break down the shit from the shit. And there's one true, here's a true statement. Here's a factual statement that cannot be argued. All single men are bachelors. That is a factual statement that cannot be argued, okay? Now, if you want to say this is fact and you're going to bring out something that's happening at the moment, the only way that something becomes fact until it actually happens and it ends. You know, you can't say a man was a criminal until he dies if that's all he did. If a man was in jail until he was 70 years old and then got out and you say he's a criminal and that's it, he can change tomorrow. He can, you know what I mean? He has an ability to change his essence. You know, it's an existentialist thought, but, you know, at any point. So for somebody to say, well, this is the way it is, so therefore, no, at any moment, things can happen. You know, it's like the John F. K. assassination. Was it factual? We still, to this day, you know, there's people that have their belief. Was it the FBI? Was it our own country? You know, who was it that killed this guy? Was there two men? Was there more than one person? We don't have evidence. People can be talking, well, there's no evidence that this didn't happen. Not 88 to 90% of most crimes committed in this country don't have evidence and go unsolved because there's not enough evidence to prosecute. That doesn't mean a crime didn't occur. And everybody in this country keeps talking about, well, there's no evidence of something. Well, if something just happened 3 months ago at a major level, evidence sometimes won't come out for years. You know, so to say something didn't occur because there's no evidence is not factual. You understand what I'm saying? And that's my point. So that's why I'm not going to come out and just say something. That's not going to come out and just judge something and make a final decision when things are still in motion. And that's the problem. Like you said, this is what everybody on Facebook does. We all want to be righteous and know-it-alls and I'm not stupid, you know. And we all these, I call them the Google geniuses, the hindsight Hindus, and the know-nothing know-it-alls. Because they'll read an article on a goddamn thing from some shitbox fucking media source and go, look, it says it right there. That doesn't mean shit.
Yeah, but see, you're talking about reading, and I don't know this logic you were coming up with. I was trying to follow you. I'm a little stoned. But, you know, honestly, man, you know, it's about character, man. I know character. I could read people, man, you know. I could tell you right now, I could read people. Like, he could probably read people with cards. I've been to the Big House to the White House. I met the real president, Ronald Reagan, by the way, in the White House. And so I went from the Big House to the White House. So I don't – I'm just telling you –
Were you a Ronald Reagan fan?
Not necessarily. No. I thought he'd done some good things, you know. And I thought he'd done some – you know, but I thought he had integrity. I thought that he at least he put the country in front of himself. And I thought he really loved the country. I really believe it. Yeah.
I do too.
And I like Nancy. You know, you know, say, just say no to drugs. You know, I used to do tons of jokes on that, but I mean, but I thought he was, that was a Republican. You understand? That was a fiscal Republican, which I don't know if you crunched numbers. I don't know if you've seen the deficit. It's like, you know, I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, there was $3 trillion. $3 trillion used just in March alone to add to the pandemic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And you know what? If we'd have gotten in front of the pandemic, being the richest and most powerful,
nobody got in front of the pandemic. Even China's suffering again. Even with their style of government where they lock people in and lock them into the house. Right. By the way, speaking of that, it was nice to see a little change of pace in New York there, Clayton, how Cuomo came out and said, we can't lock down forever. I guess he's tired of watching people leave the city.
You know, Cuomo is like really struggling right now. He is becoming more libertarian every day. The other day he comes out and says, you know, maybe we should be allowed to smoke weed. And that was new. And that, now he's gotten in my world. He's like, you know, gambling, you know, sports betting. Why not? We could try it. We could maybe make back some taxes that way. And now he's like, yeah, let's let the bars open. So I think that what he's been doing for the last 10 months, it just isn't working. Everyone hates him. So he's like, I think I'll try the libertarian platform and see how that flies. He's just guessing at this point. I mean,
so are they going to have indoors? I didn't even know. Are they going to have indoors?
Well, he's entertaining it right now. He said something today. You know, on this very day, he said something to the effect of, we can't stay closed forever. And this means bars and restaurants. You know, we have to start trying to open. We just can't keep everything closed forever. Well, great. Great. Now that, you know, millions and millions of people have already left New York, he's starting to wake up to the fact that people don't want to live at a place where everything is closed.
So, Clayton, are you saying Cuomo and I both came to the admission table a little too late?
Yeah, I mean, both of you guys are like too little, too late. Exactly. Where was this months ago? It should have been years ago.
So I'm right there up there with Cuomo. You know, De Blasio. I mean, no, does anybody like him?
No.
I mean, come on.
No. Next question.
Let me ask you this: When's the next mayoral election in New York?
Yeah, I think it's in the summer. Andrew Yang is running, along with like 39 other people, including Stacey Prussman, a comedian that a lot of us know.
Yeah.
Some of you might know that I have a podcast with Al Martin, who owns Broadway Comedy Club and is a friend of all of ours as well. And we actually interviewed her for our episode that is coming out next week. So if you're on, you know, if you're into podcasts, you want to check that out, Broadway Comedy Club Radio, that's what it's called. And we talked to Stacey about how she's running for president. I mean, for a mayor of New York, and, you know, we got her thoughts on the president and her thoughts on the way things have been handled here. And, you know, it just seems like the world is becoming more libertarian to me, because everything she was saying was, you know, people need to be, at some point, we don't need the government to babysit us anymore and tell us we can't go outside without a mask on and what time we have to be home at night. And some of the things I see in all the different places around the country, you know, they originally told us, when this pandemic started, like, look, we're worried that the hospitals are going to be overcrowded. And so what we want everyone to do is stay home so that we can make sure we have enough beds and enough ventilators for everybody who really needs it, because some people are very susceptible to this illness. It doesn't kill that many people, but the people that could get it, they're going to need to go to the hospital. And so we need to all like kind of look out for those people right now and keep the infection rate down. They kept saying, you know, flatten the curve. Well, over the summer, our curve was as flat as can be. The infection rate in New York was 1%, and they still had everything closed. So it just, those of us, you know, people like me who already don't trust the government to begin with, this didn't help, because I'm like, all right, so you promised if we got the infection rate down, you would like, you know, it's like if your parents said, look, if you do your homework, I'll let you watch cartoons. And then you finish your homework and there's still no cartoons. Like, I haven't seen cartoons since, like, you know, Vietnam. It's ridiculous.
And you know what? This is the thing about it. Everybody, when I see everybody around the world, the only ones who really had a grasp on it was China, right, when it came out, and they didn't share the information.
Vietnam.
Yeah, they didn't share it. They didn't want, you know, so it's almost like learning by fire, you know, old Marine term, right? Learning by fire. And that's what we're all doing. So, you know, in times of crisis like that, I'm really against judging the actions of the people at the helm, because You know, it's like if you're on a ship and you're at the sea and the things are fucking crashing and stuff, you know that the captain is going to use all their knowledge they have to try to keep us from sinking, right? But sometimes the things that are happening can be, climatic. I mean, and you don't know. And this there was, like you were saying, when we first heard about this shit, don't wear a mask. And why was Dr. Fauci telling us not to wear a mask? Because they wanted to make sure.
Let me finish that question.
Yeah, well, I'm answering it. I know because they didn't want, they wanted enough of those to be available for for PPE, for people. So they didn't want to, people to just start wearing masks and then not have the people need to really be wearing them wear it. But it gave us this weird feeling, we don't need to wear a mask. So when somebody says, I don't need to wear a mask, and you get pissed at them for that, you're like, well, what the fuck? I've been hearing so many different things and stuff like that. So this has been a learning experience for everybody. When we're all in a learning experience, it's not helpful if you get mad at somebody else. Today when I was driving, I saw four people in the car by themselves driving with a fucking mask on. And then I saw two women on their bikes exercising with a fucking mask on.
But you're in Florida, Doug. You're in South Florida. That's not a place where people are known for being smart.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I almost want to roll down the window and go, what are you fucking wearing a mask for outside, you fucking idiots?
That's fair. I mean, at the beginning. And, I remember, I grew up in a small town of Pennsylvania. It's a rural area. All Trump people, mostly 80%.
How about them Steelers, by the way, Bob? Huh? How about those Steelers, by the way?
I know they got spanked. Oh. Hey, listen, you know what? People say I got soft. Come on here. You know what? Cleveland, if I'm going to lose, I'll lose to Cleveland. Let them get in, get their ass. I hope if they could beat Kansas City, I win a lot of money. That's all I could say. But what I'm just saying is, yes, Doug, that's true. And at the beginning of anything, we did not know. And I was going to tell you about my area. They didn't run their mouth. They can't stop it now. It's easier to stop in a bigger city than a smaller town, by the way. Yes, we didn't know. But what I'm saying is, earlier on, I got to go back to your boy. He, in January, in the interview, lied. He knew how bad it was. You got to look.
It's not lying when you're just trying to, you're spinning it a certain way. It's not lying. Lying is when you know the exact truth. When you don't.
Know the exact.
No, they didn't know. It was still undetermined. There was still know shit. You talk about our boys, and you look at de Blasio going around, go to Chinatown. You're looking at all these other people saying, go and enjoy our city. Nobody had a fucking understanding of it.
What if I send you the link?
I don't give a shit about a fucking link, Bob. I know the timelines. I know the timelines. If you get the same thing about, we're going to have a travel ban and stuff. And then, nobody wanted to do it. But then when he did it, you didn't do it soon enough.
You're still on that thing a little bit, aren't you, huh?
No, I'm just telling you that. Listen, my problem is that the difference is that I'm of the belief that people will, especially in a situation like that where it's unprecedented, people are going to make mistakes. From the top to the bottom, people are going to make mistakes because it's unfair. You don't really know what to fucking do. You're trying to, you're gathering all, it's almost like a poker game, right? You don't know what the other people have. You're basically using all your skills and abilities to try to interpret and understand.
We knew
it was communicable. They knew all kinds of shit. But at the same time, you're saying, why didn't they say this? And
we're the strongest.
It doesn't even matter. Everybody.
Why doesn't it matter? I guess you want to tell it to all
everybody. Because everybody who is dealing it with, like I said, from him down to everybody. Well, it's fine. We'll be okay. Nobody knew. Nobody knew this could be 6 foot, 5 feet.
You're a smart guy, man.
Feet.
You're a lawyer. Hey, man. Let me ask you a question because you're really like I defended myself when I was by the way, and I won. I beat them. I just don't get it.
Wait a minute. Who are you going against?
I'm not understanding this. Is that how can you not see with this guy from day one? You don't know a con artist?
Listen, I'm not. This is not about. I get. You didn't get paid by Trump when you worked.
I know con artists.
You want me to write you a check for the money so you can get over that already?
No, because, I'm just saying. I'm just talking about. I know con artists.
Listen, everybody in Congress is a fucking con artist. That's everybody bullshit. That runs for office is a con artist.
That's deflection.
It is not deflection. I don't trust hardly any. Listen, if there's one thing I hope we can all agree with on this podcast at this moment in this topic, I think everybody in Congress should have term limits. 8 years, that's it.
I'm with that.
We can get rid of a lot of corruption and a lot of the shit we're talking about
100%.
If there was a term limit with these Congress people. Because that's the biggest problem I have isn't really with who's president, even with Obama, whoever it is. I think the things that held Obama back was Congress. I think the people in Congress. What? I can't hear you.
It's skin color.
Oh, come on, Bob.
Jesus, Bob. You know,
let me tell you what
Let me tell you, his skin color gave him so much freedom in his first few years. Nobody gave him shit. No,
you're like Chris Rock.
The press didn't give him shit. And, you know, they're all like, oh, they can't say anything bad, you know, and that kind of shit. All right. So let's stick to the point. The problem is Congress. You know, all these people, because there's multiple douchebags in Congress. All right. On both sides. And I think we need term limits before if we're going to get peace. In this country,
I'm with you on that.
That's the biggest.
You know
problem.
What? How about this? When they get out too, they can't take a job with a defense contractor. How about that?
Yeah, right. I'm trying to remember the thing with the contract when you can't do something with somebody else.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like if you work for a company, right? If you work for a company, you can't go for your competitor, right? For like a couple of years, I think.
Yeah, it's a non-compete clause, and that would be nice if they had that.
Right, I think they should. I'm with you guys on that. I'm with you all the way, bro.
You know, and I want to point something out, Doug, because I'm afraid that some of the listeners might get the wrong idea about me. I'm not a Trump supporter, you know. I was one of the many, many people that saw what the Democratic Party did to Bernie Sanders when he was running for office, and they screwed him over, and they tried to force Hillary Clinton down everybody's throats. And then they never accepted responsibility for doing that. Very corrupt things that were going on down in Brazil. Like that whole story was very bad, what they did to Bernie Sanders, who was probably more capable of winning an election versus Trump than Hillary was. And then they lost the election, but then they kept saying, well, we actually won the popular vote, which to me is always a stupid argument because like everybody knows the rules of the game. Before the game starts, that's like saying, well, we actually had more yards. I know your team scored more points, but we had more yards. So we win the football game. Like, we all know that the object is to get more than 270 or more electoral votes. I mean, that's the game. So to say that, oh, well, she won the popular vote. She should have won. And then this time around, you know, I watched all the debates. I'm getting into politics. You know, I'm a lot more interested in this stuff than I used to be because it just feels heavier now, right?
Right.
So I'm watching like the Democratic debates, and anyone who could watch those debates and be like, you know who should be president out of those 17 people on that Democratic debate stage? It's got to be Joe Biden. Didn't watch the debate because he was god awful.
He was horrible. I like Yang. If you want to bring somebody more progressive, I like Yang.
Maybe he's going to be mayor of New York. But, you know, the thing is, like this election, we got another two horrible choices. Like Trump should not be president. He's a terrible choice for president. But so do a lot of people feel. So is Hillary Clinton. And then this time around, it was just the choice. Like you had to choose between the lesser of two sex offenders. And it's very hard to pick when you got one 80-year-old sex offender versus another 80-year-old sex offender. I just don't know which one I want to be president. It would have been nice if we would have had an actual option, but we never do. Because the people that should be president would ruin the corporate, you know, there's beautiful things going on for corporate America right now. They're making, you know, money hand over fist, even during a pandemic, you know, and nobody wants that to get out of whack. So for some true outsider that wouldn't be, you know, trying to take money from corporate interests to be president would require the system to work for that person, and it just doesn't. The whole thing is set up so that they cram whatever candidate is next in line. You know, Biden was vice president when Obama was president, so no matter how poorly he did in the debates and no matter how low his numbers were, like, let's run him against Trump, even though these other people are doing better. You know, it makes me sick because we're supposed to have a democracy, but really what the average guy or girl wants to be president, that's like so far down the list of how they determine who they end up, you know, putting on the ballot. It makes me sick.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. We got a little time, so I want to jump to this subject, which I thought was a very interesting topic. and it happened in New York, but the woman, what was her name? Maya Ponceto.
Oh, yeah.
which was the woman who accused the young black man of stealing her phone. Now, and of course, she ended up going and talking with somebody and making even a bigger fool of herself, you know, which is, you know, sometimes people make mistakes. You know what I mean? Sometimes, how many times have I go, someone stole my thing, and then you realize, oh, shit, I left it. You know what I mean? You know, because you're there. You think you, in your mind, you think you left it there in the airport. You think you left it. Like, I remember one time I thought I left my phone when I went to get up to check something, and I left my phone and some shit, and somebody stole my phone. I'm looking around. I'm starting to look at everybody. And, you know, and here's how I'm going to say I'm not racist, because the first thing I look for is suspicious. You know, who's looks suspicious, you know? I mean, right. I'm not Otto and George, black guy, guilty. You know, I'm not I'm not doing the Otto and George thing. I'm like seeing who looks like they're looking at me to see if I, you know what I mean? And then I'm like, oh shit. And I'm looking around and then, you know, finally it comes to me. Oh, I put it in the bag. I forgot. I did put it in the bag, you know, but this is amazing, you know? And I thought, I don't know if to get through this.
I don't know what it is, man. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Oh, just tell the story, Doug. Tell them what happened.
Well, this woman was at a hotel in New York. Am I right so far? It was in a hotel. Yeah. And she accused, there's a guy who's a musician. He's with his 14-year-old son, I think it was. They're at the hotel in the lobby. This girl realizes she doesn't have her phone with her.
Right.
And then right away, I don't know how many other people, I don't know who else was around. I don't know if this was the only kid there. I don't know if everybody else was adult and grown up, and this was one kid that was there, right? But she accused the kid of stealing the phone.
The kid?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now,
14-year-old
kid. She's, you know, and now because, of course, he's black, you know, right. there's a race card being pulled. Well, you're accusing him because he's black. Meanwhile, I don't know the entire story to be able to label her as racist. Right. Because it could be that everybody else there was 60 years old, you know, people with suits and shit. And there was just one kid walking through the lobby. So automatically she thought, who knows? I'm not defending the woman. I'm just saying I wasn't there to be able to, like Clayton said earlier, to put a label on her as racist. There may have been other criteria for her to decide this other than the race card that everybody likes to fucking pull. So she then accuses him, and she's trying to give me the phone. Meanwhile, the kid doesn't have a phone. I don't know if he had his own phone. I don't know. But yeah, and then she was like, give me the phone. And then even the staff of the hotel are like trying to figure out what's going on. This guy, Crump, the attorney, this well-known attorney who defends people on these racial issues and the police shootings and stuff. He's really well-known. He's coming out and saying he's going to sue the hotel now for the way they handle it, which attorneys should do. They always go for the deep pockets. Right. You know what I mean? You got to go. I mean, you're bad. You know. Yeah, it's like when the comic who got hit by in Jersey by the Walmart Chuck, Tracy Morgan, you know, hey, Walmart, you know, he got hit by Walmart Chuck, you know, that we used to say that in law classes. We used to say, boy, if you're going to get an accident, you better get hit by a UPS truck or some shit, you know, not a Roto-Rooter truck.
I just settled a case where a girl, she got hit by a UPS truck on my mother. I swear to God. I'm a litigation consultant. I go ahead. I just put the deal together. She got hit by a UPS truck in my kid's BMW at a red light in the back.
When you get hit in the back, that's automatic responsibility. You know, you can't take UPS. Back.
It's 10 times better than a city because you have to wait forever. UPS, man, I'll just tell you this real quick. Can I tell you this real quick?
Yeah.
So this girl comes to her house. She's got a brand new BMW. It's my kid's car. He's in New York. She's taking over the lease. Long story. She had her sister's big, nice place in Beverly Hills. So when the lady comes out, she's looking. Her neck, I told her, you know, what to do a little bit. Her neck was a little sore that day. The lady had $5,000 and $10,000 cards. And she said, listen, we could handle this right now if you want. She's outside. She goes, how about if I give you $15,000? She said, $1,500. She goes, she went like this with her neck. Honest to God, it was just a timing thing. The lady goes, I'll pay you $20,000 right now. She called me, are you fucking nuts? You left $40,000 on the table. I got my $2,000. I should have got $4,000. But I mean, can you believe UPS truck in the back, Doug, in the back. And the woman says, here's $20 right now. If she gives her $20, bro, how much you think's on the table? And she comes here, and she's outside the freaking place in Beverly Hills going, oh, yeah, let's just do this.
I think that's UPS calling you right now to resettle.
I'm wondering who's calling. Is that you or me?
Who has a landline?
That's the attorney Crump calling you up and saying, you idiot. But to the story is that, so then what happened was she kept trying to like search the guy until the kid walked away, and then she ended up attacking the kid. You know, she jumped on him in the lobby, and that's where she got arrested for assault.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Yeah. And you know, it's like people, you know, and what ultimately it turned out was that supposedly, and this is where the verification of the stories is interesting, but supposedly she left it in the Uber. The Uber driver brought it back. Now, here's the problem I have with that story. I don't know any Uber driver ever bringing anything fucking back. Okay. I left my wallet in an Uber when I did. I shot the commercial I did for Fox Bet, where I was a crazy Kansas City fan. I just got paid in cash and I had money. I had $350 in cash in the Uber. I went back to the hotel where we staged everything. I had the makeup and I left it because I remember putting it down for a second and getting my shit organized and got out of the car. I know I left my wallet in the Uber. I know I did. The problem was I couldn't call him right away because the people who shot the commercial got me the Uber. It wasn't like it was on my Uber and I could call the person. So I'm like trying to figure it out. I didn't find your wallet. So to say the Uber driver brought the phone back, it's interesting. But any rate, so supposedly she left it in the Uber, was never stolen, and she falsely accused this kid of stealing, and everybody's playing the race card, which, again, maybe. I don't know. I'm not saying.
All right, Doug, let me just jump in here because, you know, I hear your point of view. I'm going to disagree with you on this one because here's the thing. Before I accuse someone of stealing my phone, I want to be, I would say, 95% sure that person has my phone. And if the person I'm about to accuse is a different race than I am, I'm going to be 100% certain before I accuse that person of anything.
That's very funny. You should do that. That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're randomly selecting this person who's not only a minor, but he's African American.
Young black kid.
Like, what are you stupid? Like, what is wrong with you?
I agree with that point. It definitely would play, like, you know, I think especially nowadays, the way things are.
Oh, so heated.
Unless you saw the person reach over and grab it, you really want to be very careful. You know, you better
I'm going with the tackle. Listen, I got a 15-year-old daughter, you know, and then of course my two boys. If someone tackled my kid, man, I mean, you know, like, I don't know if I'm going to hit her. I'm going to hold her down by her fucking hair or something. But I mean, you know, it doesn't, that you tackle a kid. I mean, how fucked up is that anyways, you know? And by the way, back to Doug on this, dude, I'm with you. Like, I got kids. I mean, people in my house all the time, all in and out all the time, right? So I lost my wallet the other day, and I'm like, can I lose it all the time? Because I'm stoned. I'll be honest, straight out. And I'm fucking, first thing I'm thinking, who was here at the house? I'm thinking about everyone else but me, except me. Why didn't everyone say, and everyone goes, Dad, you freaking left it somewhere, 10-1. 10-1, I did, and I did. But your first analogy, I don't know why it is, you start looking around and go, who, you know, that's, you know, who was here? So, anyways,
yeah,
everyone looks suspicious. That's all I'm saying.
I had something similar, and you never want to be in that. The thing is, you never want to be in that position. I had a good friend of mine who's a comedian. I'm not going to mention his name, who just stopped talking to me just a few years ago. Just stopped talking to me, and because he had heard a podcast and I brought up the story, but I think it was taken out of context.
Yeah,
the problem was that, you know, when I do the podcast here, and people would come to the house, right?
Right. I came here.
You here. You guys both here doing the podcast. So there was one time, this one particular comic, instead of just staying in the living room, like before the show, and I was walking, he ended up, like, I went out back to get something. When I came back in, he was in my bedroom, which is, you know, which is a little weird, right? I mean, some people don't have.
He wasn't jerking off, was he?
Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Some people just, you know, most people have common sense. You don't walk into someone's bedroom unless somebody says, hey, come on in. You know, I'm going to show you. You know what I mean? You stay out of the fucking bedroom. But when I came back in from the patio, he was in the bedroom. Like, oh, dude, I looked at him like weird and shit. And it was odd because that night my wife said, I'm missing my, I remember something. I don't remember what the fuck, the watch or something. And I'm thinking.
Underwear.
I was leaving that go, man. He's already mad at me. I was leaving that go.
know what I'm saying? So now here's the problem. Because of that situation, it almost makes it, there's a reason that now. You know what I mean? It's not like I thought, it's not like the guy was in the living room and all of a sudden I could have thought he walked in. I didn't know. It was that. So I even said in the podcast the same thing. I go, now I was a bit suspicious of the guy because of that circumstance, because he was in the room, you know, thus putting himself in a more guilty position or potential for stealing the watch. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm just saying, when I was there, because you know that you went to the house, my I didn't want to bring this up. I might as well bring it up now. My wallet was missing when I left doing your podcast at your house. I'm just saying.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm missing a few poker chips too, Doug.
I can't help it. I'm a kleptomaniac.
Yeah. No, but I do have a similar story, actually. Many years ago, when I was doing a lot of theater and stuff, I was an actor. I was in this play where I got to wear this really cool leather jacket. It fit me perfectly, and I loved the way it looked. I mean, I like leather jackets anyway. And I was like, you know, I asked the costume designer the day before the show closed. I said, hey, you know, what's going to happen to these costumes after the show? Because I really like this leather jacket. And she's like, well, we're, you know, you can't have it. We're probably going to end up, you know, trying to sell them back or something like that. And I was like, okay, well, I just figured I'd ask, because sometimes when you do gigs, they do let you keep the clothes, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, all right, so no, never mind. I'm sorry I asked, you know, I forget it. That jacket ends up missing a few weeks later. And the director of the play called me up and was like, you know, Clayton, I'm not trying to accuse you of anything, but, you know, when this jacket disappeared, the costume designer was telling me that you were expressing an interest in it. And yeah, I swear to God, this was 20 years ago. Okay. I swear to God, I didn't take that jacket, but I'm also 100% sure that everybody in that production team thinks wanted I did. Yeah, they're sure I did.
And isn't that fucked up? Like, cause you know, and you know, Clayton's like, why is it? Cause I'm black. And you're right. It's a weird, like your interest in it made you the prime suspect.
The only suspect. Right? I'm the guy.
Meanwhile, it could have been the one guy who was behind you when you were asking for it, and he went,
I can pin this on him.
I got a dude.
You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, why do you think we do that? I mean, it's kind of you know, like the first thing is saying, like I hit my head all the time. I swear to God, I lose my wallet all the time, and like your first thing is like, well, where was you out last? Well, that's stupid, right? We always have. But why do we do that? I mean, it's just, you think it's a psychological thing that we drift away instead of saying it's us at first? I don't know.
Well, because we can't admit our own fault in a sense. It has to be some other force. You know, it can't be my forgetfulness. It can't be, you know, it has to be something else.
Yeah, it's good to think I'm not an idiot.
Yeah, and I'm not losing my fucking mind.
Hey, speaking about a wallet, you know, the lady I just told you got hit by the UPS. This all comes together. I'm on my... I'm in my called a birdcage, part of my house, and I see this wallet. It's like leaned up against the thing, and I open. There's 350 some bucks in it. It was the girl I did the thing with, her son. And I gave her the wallet back, and, you know. So it's like I think I get this woman $20,000. Her sister married the founders of AOL's son. I swear to God, she got bank worth $200 million, you know. And fucking Bob Golub here got to give her a BMW to drive and negotiate the deal. My wife goes, oh, don't you feel bad for her? I says, she got $20,000. I want my fucking $4,000. I should get my 20%. I negotiated that. Listen, she wasn't going to do it. I said, listen, you got hit in the back. You're not sore somewhere. You're sore somewhere.
Yeah.
I swear to God, when you said that as a joke, I couldn't make it up. I couldn't make it up. If someone says 20, as a lawyer, here's $20,000. Outside the house, oh, there's 40 somewhere. There's more cards in that fucking purse somewhere.
Well, I may have been second counsel to that, and I may have told her to take the money, because with an accident case, and it's different in different states. But if you had an accident, you know, you're really on your max is about $25,000, unless there's some sort of injury where you need surgery or something else. You know, or something like that. That's basically
what we call it, soft tissue.
The pandemic.
I know I'm a litigation consultant. I made it up. I didn't realize it really are. And I told a lady I'm a litigation consultant. I'm representing her. But, you know, but when a UPS truck hits you at a stop sign, bro, the money's there. Okay. And the pandemic, you can't get the surgery. I swear to God, when her neck went like that at the perfect timing, she goes, I'm going to go get therapy. That money was there. I'm just saying, yeah. There's probably another 10, 15 easy.
Listen, if I get hit by a UPS truck, I'm already going to claim I can't get a heart on anymore.
There you go.
That's what most lawyers will say, tell me you can't get a heart on anymore. I say, well, I hope the other attorney isn't hot because she'll disprove my theory. Well, I know we've been running, and the time just flew, guys, because we've been going to this, but, you know, it's that time.
Oh.
It's time for the news is a joke, everybody. That's right. The news is a joke. And here's where we actually take our comedic abilities and try to make as much funny as we can from the stories, simply from the headlines, because that's all we really have time for today.
Okay.
Our first, let's start with this story. London Zoo rejects Ricky Gervais's death wish to be fed to the lions. Ricky Gervais, very funny comedian.
Yeah. Is that true or false?
Well, it's a true story in that it's, you know, whether or not he was, you know.
It just depends what, I don't know. Clayton, go ahead. It just depends what part.
Ricky Gervais, the creator of The Office, the original Office over in England. I believe he hosted the Academy Awards a few times.
Horrible.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't hear about this story. It seems to me like wanting to be fed to the lions. There's probably better ways to go than that, in my opinion.
Well, I mean,
the
question is, if you're already dead, you know, you're just going to go ahead and feed me to the lions. London Zoo have reportedly rejected Ricky Gervais's wish to be fed to the lions after his death.
Oh, okay. Well, then, Doug, then he shouldn't worry about it too much now, because they can always change their mind later. Like, he's not dead yet. You know, who's going to be in charge of that zoo at the time of his death? That's what matters, not what whoever the guy is now.
Yeah, but think
about
this.
The zookeeper might have, like, some kind of morality issue. But, you know, maybe Ricky, like, he knows that he's delicious and lions would love his dead body.
Yeah. Can you imagine the tourist coming in for that? That's a line that ate Ricky right there. Come on, it's a big marketing thing.
Yeah,
I would personally do it. I would do it.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais says it would be good to be fed to lions at the London Zoo. It would be good to give something back.
Give something back.
We eat animals.
Yeah.
We destroy the habitats, and at least I could give them something back.
Yeah.
I guess it's the California vegan cow there, or lion or whatever.
He should ask Carol Baskin what she thinks first.
That's a good callback. Bing.
There you go. Did Carol Baskin kill her husband? Quick, you guys think?
Obviously.
She yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly.
Our next story. Police respond to chickens wreaking havoc at a New Jersey McDonald's. It kind of reminds you of like the Chick-fil-A commercial where the cows.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah, trying to tell you to eat more chicken.
Cow. Yeah.
It's literally the first time in history there was actual chicken inside a McDonald's.
Ah, there you are.
There's more real chicken at the parking lot.
McDonald's than there authentic, were authentic chicken spotted at McDonald's. News at 11.
Yeah. Wow, there's some white meat. Yeah, I don't think we need to fucking go any further with that. I don't think we can top that part of the headline.
Always leave on a good note, man.
On that joke, on that part at least. Now, this is great. It's amazing what other parts of the world do, right? Like there's children, when I think of children's programs, I think back in the old days when I was a kid, like Captain Kangaroo, you know, Zoom, Sesame Street, things like that. The Electric Company, right?
That's the stuff. Had Zoom when you were a kid?
Yeah. Not this Zoom. But Danes divided over children's TV show about a superpowered penis in Copenhagen. And you've been to Scandinavia a bit there, Clayton.
Yeah, I've been to Copenhagen. Beautiful city.
Yeah.
A lot of glorious penises everywhere.
Yeah.
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 And they're known for that.
If you go to our YouTube channel, right on the top of our YouTube channel, The Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, I interview my old soccer coach, Thomas Rundgren, who was a coach of the U.S. national team
Danish.
For a while. And he's actually from Holland. Yeah, Holland. And we joked about all the Swedish guys on our soccer team with the big dicks. You know, it was very intimidating taking showers with all the Swedes. He said he would never hire a coach with a bigger dick than he had. So Copenhagen, Danish animated children's TV show about a man with a superpower of an infinitely extendable penis has divided opinion amongst parents I would see that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I have a pump. You know, I'll be honest with you, I'm not lying. I just got a pump. And really? I swear to God, I got a pump. I had my penis shut up because I have pierogies. It goes to the left. I have $4,500. I got it done for nothing. Two shots. I got the pump now. Here's the pump. I'm pumping, right? And I put it in my – I'm up in my guest – in my loft up here. And my son said, Dad, I thought you quit smoking pot. I said, I did. He goes, well, you got a bong. I go, that's my pump for my dick. He goes, my friend was hit that last night. He thought it was a bong. So there you go. It sounds like a joke, but it was a joke, but there was truth to it. Because I was wondering
if that was the joke or not.
No, I got a pump. I got a real pump, but that happened. My kid actually said, thought it was a bong.
Doug, now the real question, hold on, the real question real quick is, did your son tell his friend that he was smoking your cock?
I told him, by proxy, your friend sucked my dick. Technically. Right?
Which is only fair.
He's kind of half gay now.
Yeah, right.
But this Danish TV show, like I remember when I was a kid, there was Stretch Armstrong, right? Mm-hmm. And then like kind of the ripoff of that was a cartoon called Plastic Man.
I remember Plastic Man.
You remember Plastic Man? You could just like stretch, you know, right. This is basically the same thing. But, you know, Plastic Man was mostly arms and legs, right? Let's be real. It was like occasionally a neck. You know, Plastic Man never showed us like his junk. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's part of like the, you know, these countries in Scandinavia are extremely liberal. You know, they want to teach children about being a different gender than they were born, like when they're 3 or 4 years old.
That's
like
fucking it's bullshit really, there. That's yeah, bullshit. There's your fun non-liberal thing there. That's yeah. bullshit.
Yeah.
No, 3, 4 years. I'm not going to get into this. I don't, you yeah. know.
No, I mean, you're a father. You have opinions about this stuff. You know, this is the truth. Like, this is what. It's probably part of the agenda is like, you know, normalizing talking about, you know, a penis, but you know, it's a cartoon,
right?
Do we really want children to even be thinking?
I don't get the premise. Like, is a kid running around with a stick in his pen?
He's a superhero.
Well, he's a man. The show is called John Dillerman, which roughly translates to John Peepee.
Right.
Has aired on the state broadcast since late December. The show features animated Clayman and a stripped red and white outfit with an extendable, sometimes helpful, sometimes out of control
penis.
Yet fully clothed penis. It's not like they show the raw penis, but
yeah. But what's the purpose? What's the educational aspect of it? I don't get it.
I think it teaches children that sometimes a penis is helpful and other times it's out of control.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are the two options with a penis.
I can only imagine trying to teach the young kids to think with the big head, not the little one. Well, for this guy, that's the thing. His little head can become the big head.
Okay.
So, you know.
It's limitless.
All I know is if I saw that commercial, I'd be very upset. Or if, you know, I'd be like,
something. You want your kid to see something like that? Just 3 years? I don't. Whatever. Hey, you know what? He's been over there. I've never been over there, so maybe people over there. You know, there's women. They got the. Well, we see their eyes in, you know, Saudi Arabia. You get that? Why they dress like? I don't know. I mean, he's been. You've been there? Are they that crazy over there?
It's a different culture over there for sure. I mean, it's more so Sweden, but really all of the Scandinavian countries. You know, they're extremely liberal about a lot of things, particularly like sexual things and gender. Things, feminism, all that stuff is very, very much top of mind throughout the region. So this is probably some sort of initiative to try to normalize talking about the penis or something like that.
But here's some moments in the TV show. The penis gets caught in the door of a bus.
Yeah, we've all been there, right? I mean, who among us?
Hurry up, cock! Get in there. It holds on to balloons as the character flies up in the air, and is used as both a helicopter rotor. We've all done that, you know. And he uses it to whip a tame lion.
Ho! There's a callback.
Yeah.
To Ricky.
With that other woman's, I don't know, we're retiring somehow.
But it does say
feed that bitch to the lions. for lying. Yeah. How about that?
It says small children enjoy being naked and exploring themselves to play doctor games. We all did that. Show and tell, right? We all played show and tell when we were kids. Examine each other and love naughty words. So that's a good way to kind of get that out of the way. Our stupid award goes to a burglar who was arrested after he pocket dialed the police during the robbery. God only knows why. I mean, everybody's done a butt call, right? You call the last person you call, you put it in your pocket, and then they get to hear you talk about them for 30 minutes. I can't believe that fucking asshole. Two hapless burglars have been arrested in the UK after accidentally pocket dialing the police during the crime. We're never going to get caught. This is a foolproof plan.
I was in prison with a guy actually in the county. He was a pretty famous athlete, and he went bad, you know. I swear to God, he robbed
OJ. OJ.
No, this guy robbed a bingo parlor in my hometown, right? With a shotgun. And this guy, and he goes, "Give me your money." He goes, "You sound like Guy Veris." He goes, "I'm not Guy Veris." It was him, man. They robbed the fuck. And what were they doing in county? We were playing cards for cigarettes, and he would grab two cigarettes out of the kitty. I swear to God. It's like 10 cigarettes. You take his 10%. But anyways, I don't know where that came from. It's just, you know, you've been this long around. Things happen. You know?
Yeah. You steal them cigarettes. You hit them with your dick. Get over here, bro.
Yeah. Or you can fly out of there. That's it. The prisoner with the flying dick. You can fly right out of the prison yard.
One of the pair mistakenly sat on his phone, and it rang 999, which I guess is the UK.
In England, yeah. That's 911 in England. Yeah.
UK's number, allowing officers to hear the crime in progress. Ultimately listening to the colleagues arrest the duo. And
you know, from Bob's story, if you have a really distinctive voice, like a lot of people know my voice, you know what I mean? Like I have a voice that a lot of people can recognize. I don't know why, what it is, but people know what I sound like. Like if I robbed a bank with somebody else, I would probably let that other guy do the talking.
Yeah.
So people won't be like, "You sound like Clayton." I'll be like, "I'm not Clayton."
His name is Guy Veris. I mean, and people in my hometown, he was actually a great athlete, Dougie. And he just fucked up, man. I mean, he was ready to go, man. He had like scholarship. He probably had a good chance of going pro as a baseball
player. Why did he rob a bank, Bob?
I'm sorry, bingo.
Okay, so why did he rob a bingo?
Because he was a thief. He was a thief. Okay. He broke into houses. He got busted before then. And then, you know, like he was on the news and stuff because when he was an athlete, and of course, the people knew what he spoke like, and of course, the local radio. But for money, he robbed her for money.
And I didn't realize.
I think he might have been doing drugs. I'm not sure, but I think it was mostly just for money. But well, a bingo parlor? Come on,
I was gonna say. I think he was smoking weed before he robbed the bingo. Is that of all the places to rob?
Right, but in a small town to boot. I was telling you, it's a rural area, you know, and kind of everyone kind of knows everyone a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Our last story, a woman attempts to get around the pandemic by walking her boyfriend on a leash.
Yeah, I know people that are into that sort of thing, you know, collars, leashes and stuff. I don't see how it helps her get around the pandemic, though. Can you elaborate? What does that have to do with the pandemic?
I guess you're allowed in Quebec, Canada. A 4-week long curfew has been implemented, which requires people to stay in their residence and from 8 p.m. until 5 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, unless they have to walk the dog. Got it. Okay, yeah.
Bark, honey, bark. one woman reportedly attempted to use the ladder exemption for her own benefit on Saturday evening, shortly after curfew had come into effect, and says that... get back to this. I lost my spot. Sorry. Says the woman was fined by being stopped on King Street walking her partner on a leash. They claim the woman told police she was just out walking her dog.
Oh, okay.
Now, I guess, you know, that might work with my wife and I because being Asian, her whole family called me dog. They didn't call me Doug, so I'm just walking my dog.
Oh, right. So that's a pronunciation joke. Got it. Thank Got you. It. Yeah.
Isabel Grandin of Sherbrooke Police Department told the publication, "This could not collaborate the police at all." Statements. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, you got to put ears on them and a tail at least.
Right.
Well, you know, the real question here is, I know he's the boyfriend and all, but, you know, how does he identify, right? Like, if he identifies as a canine, who are we to say that he's not a canine?
Right.
When he pees, does he keep three legs on the ground? Right. I want to know, because...
Does he lift it up? Yeah,
special bathroom. Just like he goes like, oh, you know what? He might have his own fire hydrant. You don't know.
He's got a fire hydrant in his house.
Yeah. So, Dougie, let me explain something to you, okay? As a Pittsburgh fan and Cleveland fans, okay, we love to hate each other, okay? But after the game, we shake hands, we have a drink, and that's what's missing in this country. So I have to finish by telling you that you're my friend and I like you. But, you know, it's okay to have, you know, I get a little excited. You know, I don't like people I don't like people that, you know, that are mean. I just don't like people to fucking rip people off. I just don't like, I'm just saying, whatever it is, I'm good. I'm glad we had this. Tell you honest, God's truth, I think it's better for people that we both can, you know, at the end of this, hey, let's have a drink together. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's what it's all about.
That was one of the topics of the day, was like, can we actually get through all this? Because, you know, we know that, you know, we're like that. My friends and even people like friends I have from long time on Facebook, when this all happened, like, look, you know, I don't give, you know, this is not going to make a difference between our friendship. And that's the thing, you know, and I just don't, you know, it's just this need to be right. You know, it's just this need to be on the winning side. This, you know, I don't want to look bad anymore kind of thing. And, you know, that's my point. I go, you know, it's never about being right. The only thing is I hate hypocrisy. I used to tell you this, saying that to my stepdaughter. I go, if you want to trust a guy, you know, if you want to learn how to trust a guy, you got to look for consistencies. You know, I say this, one of the last times this happened with me, I have a good friend of mine who's a comedian, and he's very like, you know, all the earth and green, you know, Greenpeace and, you know, save the whales, you know, and all that. Great, right? But we're driving in the car after a gig. We get something at the fast food place. He takes the piece of the paper off the straw, drinks it, opens the window, and throws the paper out the fucking window.
Yeah, but wait a second. Don't you understand? You're missing the whole point. What he did, he was giving toilet paper to the squirrels.
Okay, you're right.
Humanitarian effort.
You're a negative person, Doug. I'm trying to be a positive.
I'm sorry. I wasn't considerate.
No, it's a humanitarian effort. He cares about the animals.
Yeah.
Girls need toilet paper too. It's a pandemic, dog.
Yeah, he got tired of watching the squirrels up against the tree scraping their ass. You know.
Well, you know, the thing that shocks me, and I've been in shock for like almost an hour now, ever since Bob gave you that whole rant, and he called you every name in the book, MF-er and this and that. And then 10 minutes later, he's like, I've smoked a lot of weed tonight. So this is mellow Bob. This is like, this is Bob chilled out, like with a lot of, he's very high.
God damn, better smoke, dude.
Yeah. You know, people get fired up.
But, you know, at the end of the day, man, you know, it's not about opinions. It's about facts. You know, when people tell you they're going to do something, they do it. I mean, you know, at the end of the, look, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't really know what's going to be happening here at the Capitals and stuff with the violence. It got to be, the time's going to get bad. It's going to get bad. There's going to be a lot of people dead, man. There's going to be a lot of people dead. I hope.
Well, I could say this, you know, this whole thing about the impeachment and stuff, you know, like, you know, I think, like, to me, you know, like it's been said that, you know, if Biden wants to come out and say, look, we need to get together and unite, he should drop all that shit. Let the guy go. He's done. Like, I can't imagine whether he gets impeached or not, he'll ever run again. Like you said, I don't see it. And you know what? That would be the high road. You know, that party claims to take the high. When they go low, we go high. You know, that's been started. And, you know, if that's the case, you have to set a precedent. You know, the only way there's going to be a change is that those of the people that are the pillars, the people that are the most notable, right, are the ones that you see doing things that you wouldn't expect. You know, you don't expect the average Joe on the street to admit something. You don't, you know, but you got to see, you know, that's like that. That was one of the things that irked me about Trump. When something go wrong, just fucking say it. Just say, look, you know, like you said, when things were that way, you know, I can't stand when somebody just can't admit it. You know, and that was something that would begin to irk me about the guy. Look, everybody fucks up. You know, one thing I learned there, when you fuck up, like in sports, right? You fuck up. Hey, my bad. That was always, you know, soccer, it was my bad.
You put your hand up. My bad. I messed that play up, guys. Yeah, that's on me. You
know, he was taught that way from his lawyer that never admit guilt ever because it shows his weakness. That is true. Cohen told him that, not Cohen, the other, Roy Cohen, the first one, the first lawyer when he was a young kid.
Yeah.
He'd never admit because it shows a sign of weakness. But, you know, look, you know, I don't like you said, let's move on now. Look, you know, at the end of the day, we do got to move. We got to get this pandemic under control. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to get back to work. You know, I want to work. You know,
let me ask you this, and then we'll close the show on this. What do you think are the top things we really need to worry about right now?
I don't know. I mean, I know we got to get the, if we don't get the pandemic under control, how are we going to get, and then the, we have the, we, you know, people now, different companies now are bringing out vaccines and stuff. I think once the people get to, they can see that things are working, that vaccine's working. I don't know. I'm figuring what.
Let me ask you guys this. Somebody brought this up. Being an act and being somebody that performs, how would you feel if, will you guys take the vaccine?
I'll take the vaccine.
Whatever. Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Sure,
somebody said that, like, I've had COVID, so I'm not in any hurry to get and take the, you know, take the vaccine because I feel I have the, you know, that the T cell.
Yeah, that only lasts a couple, for like 3-4 weeks, the antibiotics.
No, that's a horrible.
That's not true.
It's not true.
Well, I don't know. No. I don't know.
It minimum of 3 months or so. It could be longer. Like my wife, we had it at the same time. She just got tested. She still has her antibodies. I got tested. I don't. But my doctor said it doesn't really matter. The thing is that you have what's called a T cell production, which basically means if you've had it, your body will recognize it. Like you have muscle memory, right. Your body has molecular memory, and it'll recognize it and know it'll generate them again. But who knows? You know, again, who knows? Do you want to take that chance or not? Right. But I'm not in a hurry to take it. But somebody asked me, because they said if you want to fly or if you want to perform, like imagine if a casino or a club said, look, if you want to perform, you got to take the vaccine. There's a lot, you guys would have no problem with that. Some people said, I don't want to be forced to take it in order to work. And there is a legal discussion about that. You know,
there's anti-vaxxers. You know, a lot of parents don't want to give their children a flu shot, or they don't want to have to give them a measles shot even to go to school. A lot of public schools in particular will require children to be vaccinated. In New York, the kids here get all the shots, you know. And so if you're a parent and you don't want to expose your children to those antibodies, you know, that's what the flu shot is. It's like a little bit of flu. That's what it is. So if you don't want to do that to your child for whatever reason, religious or otherwise, you actually have to send your kid to a private school because they won't be allowed to set foot inside a public school. That's the way it is here. Other states, they have a different policy, but that's kind of how it is here. If you're going to go to New York City schools, you're going to get all kinds of shots and stuff. Now, for me, I've never gotten a flu shot. I mean, knock on wood, I haven't been sick since like the 80s. Like I never get sick. I'm not worried about it. And everything I've read about coronavirus is like, you know, guys like me that are relatively young and relatively healthy, we might get sick for a week or two and then we're going to be fine. We're not going to die from it in all likelihood. So I wouldn't want to be like first in line. Oh, I got to get my vaccine right away. But if it's like, you know, for the common good or whatever, like, sure, go ahead, you know, put your needles in me. I don't care. It's not a big deal to me. I'm not going to try to stand up for my constitutional right to not, you know, take a vaccine or something. It's stupid.
Dougie, I had to wear a thong. I got the money and connections. I swear to God, I didn't take it. Only reason why I'm down the road. I'm healthy too. But you know, the thing of it is, I'd rather let the first responders get it. I know it sounds like bullshit, but that's true.
No, let them have it. Yeah.
Yeah, let them take it. Well, that's all we have time for here today.
What about you, Doug? What about you? Are you going to take the shot?
No, I'm not going to take it. Since I had it, I'm not going to.
Oh, that's right. That's, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he already caught it. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to let it go at this point. And I think obviously that should be our concentration in this country is getting through this, getting people back to work because nothing hurts me more. Yeah, you know, I'm blessed in the fact that you know I love to perform, but it's not my livelihood. And I think about all you guys that actually that is your livelihood.
Whoa, whoa.
And, I think.
Not me. I'm rich.
I get you.
No, I made good investments, man.
I hear you. I got 1,000 shares of Amazon, but listen,
you know, I don't have that. I'd like to have that.
You know what I'm saying? I get it. And I don't want any of those comedy club bookers knowing this, by the way.
Yeah, right.
You have what? How many Bitcoin? But you know what I mean? But I think about that. So that's one of the things.
Also, you think about this, like our friend Al Martin, you know, he got two of his kids that work for him, you know, and I know it's not his responsibility to have jobs, so he told me, but still, you know, it's nice that your kids could take over your business like that. You know what I'm saying? It's nice.
Yeah. And very important, like cities in like New York, you know, I'm devastated watching what's happening in that city. Sorry, Bob, I don't give a fuck about California. I mean, I have friends there and stuff. But you know, there's the people in California are so fucking pretentious.
That's not true, dude. My cabin is in Kern County, and there's 70% Trump signs up there. I swear to God. So that's a myth, man.
No, I mean, I'm talking about Kern County.
KERN, look it up.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. But I'm worried about New York. I don't know how bad, because it's bad. I mean, it's bad.
My kid's paying $1,700 a month in Manhattan. He's right by the UN, and he lives in a door guy and everything. $1,700 a month.
Things are bad here, Doug. I mean, rents are going down. Businesses are closing left and right. We had on my podcast with Al Martin, Broadway Comedy Club Radio, we had a guest recently, James Altucher, who is in Florida now. You may have actually come across him in your travels down there, Dougie.
Yep.
James is really great. You know, he's a wonderful performer. He's also like a money guy like yourself. But he's also a part owner of Stand Up New York, which is a major comedy club here in the city. And he famously said, New York is dead. And that's what caused Jerry Seinfeld to write his op-ed in The New Yorker or whatever, basically attacking James for claiming that New York is dead. But, you know, James came on our podcast. And I asked him, you know, why did you say that? Do you regret it? Do you honestly feel it's true? And he's like, look, you tell me how it's coming back with all the damage that's already been done. You know, it will come back, but it's not going to be what it was ever again. Like, I'm watching New York City change all around me, and a lot of it has to do with the ineptitude of our leadership, which is Bill de Blasio and Andrew Cuomo. I mean, it's an absolute failure what those guys are doing. They're bad at their jobs. Cuomo is literally changing his mind every day.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about being consistent, right? You tell your daughter, look for consistency. Yeah, you know, don't date a Cuomo.
He's consistent as a flip of the fucking coin.
Yeah.
And you know, and he was getting so much kudos in the beginning of this.
They gave him an Emmy Award for being so good at going on TV and saying whatever you're supposed to say on TV. In the meantime, he put all the COVID patients in the nursing homes and then all the old people died. And they somehow sweep that story under the rug because he's a Democrat. Yeah. This is the kind of stuff that pisses me off.
No, that was horrible.
Yeah, that was, and that's the thing
what Doug was saying, I'm not justifying what Doug said early on, man. Look, it's still kind of an early pandemic. Oh, by the way, he did two plugs. My film, Die Laughing, just hit 5,000 views. I know it sounds like a lot, but for a film, it's not bad. So I tell your people, if they probably hate me now anyways, but it gives them more of a reason to watch Die Laughing, because I'll whack someone for them if they need it. I'm here for them.
There you go. It's very funny, too.
Congrats, Bob. That's great.
Yep, definitely.
Very cool. By the way, Doug, you're a racist, misogynist, xenophobic asshole, and I've always hated you.
I know.
And if you voted for Trump, you voted for everything I hate. So, buddy.
But guess what? Look, at the end of the day, who would you have in the foxhole with you, Bob Golub or Donald Trump? Come on.
I'll take Dougie.
Be honest.
I'll take Dougie. Hey, Dougie. I've seen his gun.
I've seen Dougie hit the bag. He knows how to hit a bag.
That's right. Yeah. Who would I run in the foxhole? You or Trump? You, buddy. Of course.
Well, because you know what? He does throw a lot of people under the bus, bro. I would never, I'm there for my comedy buddies, man. I'm almost gotten my ass beat many times sticking out for my friends. There was a guy in a wheelchair named Brett Leake or something. He did a Tonight Show. Remember him? He was like, had cerebral palsy or something. Remember, very funny, great joke writer. Reason I tell you this, we were doing a weekend and I told them, you got to have a first floor for this guy. We get there. They go, all the first floors are out. I go, you got to get someone out. You can't do that. So watch me get them out. And I'm going to sue you people. I felt bad. You know, he is very funny. He's from Virginia. Brett Leak. I bet you some people know him. I think it's L-E-K. Did a Tonight Show. I don't know what they came up. I don't know why. I'm sorry. My ADD's jumping.
It's okay, Bob. But to answer your question, like if I had an opportunity to be in a foxhole with either you or Trump, I mean, I'm going to take Ivanka.
Yeah, I agree.
Or even Tiffany, to be honest. Like anytime.
Tiffany. You mean the singer from the 80s?
Tiffany Trump. You guys don't even know her.
I know who she is, man.
I thought you meant the 80s pop star.
No, anyway. I'll take her too. I think we're alone now in this foxhole.
Come on, how much can you love Trump if you don't know who Tiffany is? Come on, man.
That just goes to show. Anyway, guys, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. Mr. Bob Golub, Clayton thank Fletcher, you, and God bless. I hope things get better in New York.
Yes.
If things don't change, are you considering leaving?
Well, you know, I probably stay in New York for the rest of my life. It's just, it's home. I love this city so much. And, you know, a couple of things about the pandemic are good. I mean, yeah, there's no places to work and all the bars are closed, but at least my rent's been cut in half. And that's probably going to continue. So that's good.
I keep paying $1,700
what a dorm. I know. It's going down every day because, you know, it's supply and demand. And right now there is zero demand. Meanwhile, if you want to buy a house in Jersey, it's going to cost you a small fortune. So I never thought I'd live to see the day when it costs more to rent a place in Jersey than it does in New York City. But that's just the times that we live in. Doug, if I can ask, any of your listeners want to follow me on Twitter, it's @ClaytonComic. I appreciate it. I tweet about everything but the kind of stuff we've been talking about here. I talk about poker. I talk about comedy. And I definitely stay off of politics for the most part.
You don't talk about cartoons where you can stretch your dick out?
I mean, that's my favorite subject. I mean, I'm pretty much obsessed with Denmark. But yeah, at @ClaytonComic, I do appreciate it.
There you go. Thanks, gentlemen. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie, where you can watch the show live. Our fan page on Facebook, where you're broadcasting right now as well. My new Twitter, because I got kicked off Twitter a few months ago. I got, again, there was a liberal who was arguing. They call me all kinds of names. I'm a fat fuck, and I'm lonely. I must. And I used a Rich Voss line. I said, you know, I would step over your naked body to blow the Freddie Mercury's corpse. And that got me suspended. Now you can follow.
Yeah, you shouldn't steal people's jokes. That's why you got suspended for stealing a joke.
He said, "Hey, that's Rich Moss's line, you fuck." And, but now you can find me at Funny Fiduciary and on Instagram at Dougie Dangerous, and we're also on Instagram on our.
Hey, give me the link, and I'll put. I got 30,000 people on LinkedIn. I could seriously.
Yeah, I'll be posting. I'll be tagging you guys on Facebook, and there'll be all kinds. No, but of stuff.
I have LinkedIn. I got 30,000 on there, so I. Yeah. It's actually a good one, man. I got work out of it. I got a gig out of it.
There you go. Well, there you go, guys. And if you need any legal advice, be sure to call him. He'll get you, especially if you get hit by a UPS truck. God bless, guys. Thanks for joining us today. You guys take care.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Back to our producer, Chris. Are you there?
How's it going, boys?
All right.
Hey, gentlemen. Chris. Thank you, brother.
No problem.
Thanks for having us.
Always a pleasure.
And, guys, next week we've got a great show. Mike Kaplan will be here. As well as local Florida comedian Ricky Cruz. Thanks, guys. God bless. Take care, and we'll see you
again. Safe, man. God bless you, bro.
Wake up!
Wake up!